The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Brewer Media Group.
It's time for the Sabrina and Ben Realty Hour. Gain practical advice on financing, mortgages, small businesses, and life with Ben Phillips of Home Rage Mortgages and Sabrina Smedley of Sabrina Realty Associates. Learn the inside tips from two of the most successful entrepreneurs in the Chattanooga area. And now, here are your hosts, Sabrina and Ben.
Good Saturday morning on this beautiful Saturday, August 3rd. Welcome to the Sabrina and Ben Real Estate Hour here on Easy 106.9 FM. And for our listening audience, we have someone filling in for Ben Phillips today.
Right. Good morning.
Chad Stockberger. He is with Home Rate Mortgage. I believe you run the show over there, right?
Ben just
likes to be the personality.
That's right.
Right?
No, I try. I do my best.
So how long have you been with Home Rate, Chad?
I've been with Home Rate for 5 years. I've been a loan officer for about 3.5.
So did you start off as a loan officer over there? I'm just curious.
I did not. I started out as a low man on the totem pole.
Worked your way up.
That's right. I worked under Ben for about a year, actually.
Yeah.
And before that, I was just taking in calls, taking applications. I was an assistant to Ben. So I worked my way up, and I would not change it at all.
Yep, that's awesome.
That gave me the experience that I needed to know what I know today.
And it's obviously a rewarding career because, I mean, Ben is at the beach today, right?
That's right.
He's soaking it in. Exactly. Well, he must trust you a lot to leave his business in your hands and the radio show. So
that's right.
We're
going to
see how we're going to test your radio personality today. So what's going on with interest rates this week, Chad?
Super, super exciting news. Just yesterday, the Fed announced that they dropped interest rates
again
by a quarter. That's
okay.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That is unbelievable.
It is. And I'm so anxious to see what the change is. I've had a repeat client that I've worked with twice. I talked to yesterday, and I said, let's wait until today. Let's see what rates do today.
Uh-huh.
So I'm anxious to get back to the office and check it out and see what's going on and see what we can do for him.
So when you say they drop a quarter, so what are they at now on a 30-year, let's say, conventional mortgage?
Yeah, so I got the list here for the different types of loans, actually. So on a 30-year fixed rate, this would be your conventional, 3.875, which we have not seen in a while.
That's crazy. So if someone said, well, I want to beat that rate even more, what's a 15-year mortgage?
15-year, if you're looking at a conventional, we can go as low as 3.125, in some cases, potentially even a 3%, which is insane.
Yeah, and let me just say this, because a lot of people, when they think conventional loan, they think, you know, you have to have a big down payment, 20% down. And I know at Home Rate, you guys have some products that aren't available out there with every lender. I know you guys have a conventional loan that requires only 5% down with no PMI. Is that correct?
Yeah, 5% no PMI. And what a lot of people don't know is you can actually do as little as 3% down with no PMI.
Wow. What does your credit score have to be on that?
So typically 720.
Okay.
It usually starts
so fairly good credit.
Fairly good credit. It usually starts really making sense if you have 740 plus.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Now, not everybody wants to go conventional.
Correct.
Some folks, especially first-time homebuyers, may be more interested in an FHA loan or even, which is 3.5% down.
That's right.
What's the rate on that right now?
Rate on FHA, let's see.
Uh-oh, I stumped him.
You stumbled me.
It's going to be comparable.
It's going to be comparable. I would think sometimes, depending on where your credit score's at, I would think that you would be looking at right around the same rate, maybe even potentially a little better on FHA.
Okay.
A lot of people think that FHA is not a great product because it requires a lower credit score. It's really not the case. It's one of the most common loans out there, and we do a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good loan and a good product for someone who doesn't quite have that credit score of 720. You can go, how low can you go on credit score on an FHA loan?
We can go as low as 620.
Okay.
And, you know, credit score, it means so much more than just a number, so it's something that we definitely want to look at and just see. But if you're right there at it, or you've been on the fence, or you just don't think that, you know, your credit score is good enough or anything like that, or, you know, you're at 615 or 610 and it's been at that for a long time, sometimes there's a little bitty something that you can change or pay a credit card down or something to get you at that point. So I don't want that to hold anybody back.
And you guys will work with them, right?
Absolutely.
On working and getting their credit score up. And sometimes if there's something just reported inaccurately, you guys can appeal that and dispute it and ask that it get removed and then do a rescore after a certain period.
That's right,
exactly. Yeah, I've seen that happen a lot, unfortunately. And that's why I think it's good for folks to pull their own credit.
Yep.
At least once a year to make sure that everything that's showing up on your credit actually belongs to you, especially in today's society, there's a lot of fraud and theft yep. identity and everything. And I just think it's smart to, on an annual basis, pull your own credit and stuff too. And
that's
then
right.
if there's something on there that doesn't belong to you, of course, dispute it. Now, you guys, for the folks that don't have a down payment at all, there's even some loan products with 0% down, and that would be a USDA loan, which
correct.
Is a rural development loan,
yep.
or a VA loan for our veterans out there.
That's right.
Who I appreciate so much.
Yep.
If it were up to me, we'd give all of our veterans a home,
that's
but
right.
I know that that's not possible. But it has been another hot week in the real estate market. It's unbelievable, Chad. I'm beginning, and I hope my photographer's not listening this morning, but I'm beginning to think I'm going to have to fire her.
Because hope she's not listening.
No, I really hope she's not listening. Kimmy does a wonderful, wonderful job, and most realtors now, because statistics show that 92% of buyers, they're so savvy now
yeah.
with technology and stuff, they do their own shopping.
Right.
And so they're online looking at homes. And so a lot of times, like when they call their realtor, they've already got a list of homes together because they've been shopping online. That's why it's so important for anyone who has their home on the market to have a really good online presence. And that includes not only a good write-up and, you know, accurate details of the property, but good photos. And that is so important. But I'll tell you what's been happening, okay? And I kid you not, I'm not making this up. I have been listing these homes. I get my photographer out there. She's very quick because mm-hmm. she's like the third photographer I've had since I've been using a professional photographer.
Sure.
And it's because she does such a good job and she's got a quick turnaround. So she always gets me my photos within 24 hours.
Sure.
And I've had photographers that you had to wait 2 or 3 days. But let me tell you what's happening, okay? And I owe her a bill. I owe her a bill right now.
Okay.
And I haven't even downloaded the photos. I put the house on the market, and within 24 hours, within really 8 hours, the house had 2 offers.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 2 offers, and we're in a bidding war, and I had just taken a photo with my phone
yeah.
just so I could be in compliance with our multiple listing service because they require we have a photo on. And the house is already under contract.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean,
that's insane.
And I hope she's not listening, but because she does do a good job, but
it makes a difference. The pictures really does make a difference.
Well, what that means though, anyone tuning in, this is the Sabrina and Ben Real Estate Hour here on Easy 106.9 FM. We're talking about, we just got finished talking about how great the rates are. They just went down again. Talking about how hot the real estate market is right now and how fast these homes are selling. There is such huge demand. Our statistics, I keep an eye on those every month as they come out from the Greater Chattanooga Association of Realtors. We have lower inventory than we've ever had. We have a housing shortage. And we're going to have a special guest on here in just a few minutes to talk about that even in more detail. But there's such high demand, and it's driving the market. And what we see month after month is our prices are going up mm-hmm. because of this demand. It just, you know, went up another, let's see, it was $193,000 last month. Now it's up to $205,000. So it's jumping $8,000 to $10,000 increments every single month. And for anybody out there thinking about selling a home, I cannot stress how this is the right time. Get off the fence, call a realtor, because statistics prove that realtors get you more money than
absolutely.
You get as a for sale by owner. And as a matter of fact, I'll share with you a nice listing that just came on the market, North Chattanooga. And Chad was just bragging about these rates. So, Chad, we're going to do a little math here, okay?
All right.
I'm going to promote this listing.
Okay.
And then I want you to help me out and tell our listeners what they can buy this house for today.
Okay.
But this house is located North Chattanooga, hot area. Everybody wants to be downtown, right?
That's right.
The address is 213 Sawyer Street. This is an all custom built home with all the amenities you could ever want or imagine.
It's a beautiful house I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, you're looking at it. 2,800 square feet, all custom. It has a screen back porch. It has a double lot. All the privacy you want in the back because it backs to the park of Stringer's Ridge.
Hard to find it downtown, too.
It's very hard. $455,000. And if you look at what property is selling for right now in North Chattanooga, $455,000 for a 2,800 square foot, four bedroom, four full bath home is unbelievable. And when you go in, it's got high dollar appliances, Viking appliances, which are top of the line.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, let's break this down. How much, because there may be some people out there listening that think, gosh, $455,000, I can't afford that. But because the rates are so low, people can buy more home because of that. So let's take this scenario, $450,000 home.
Sure.
In North Chattanooga with the rates that you just quoted.
Well, just so happened I ran it this morning.
That's good. Let's hear.
So the principal and interest payment would be under $2,000 with where rates are at today.
Okay.
Which has not been the case just a few months ago, and definitely last year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were looking at a 30-year fix in the conventional like we were talking about,
yep.
I know I said earlier that the rate was 3.875, but I ran this morning, and we could actually get as low as 3.75 on a home like that.
3.75 in a $2,000 a month payment that you said included taxes or didn't include taxes?
Didn't include taxes, okay. Principal and interest.
Principal and interest,
but $1,980 was the principal and interest payment on something like that.
Okay, and if you were to rent this home downtown, okay, you're looking at probably $5,000 plus a month, really.
I would say,
where this home is located,
yeah,
for sure. And I'm telling you, for anybody out there renting, they need to stop making their landlord rich. They need to call Home Rate Mortgage, get pre-qualified this weekend, and then you need to call a realtor and get out there and shop and take advantage. Not only is it a seller's market, this is a market that is also very beneficial to buyers because the rates are so low.
That's exactly right. And even though it's great, you know, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
The market, like you mentioned, was very competitive.
Right.
There's a shortage of listings out there.
Right.
So, you know, one thing that I run into a lot is sometimes buyers get discouraged,
mm-hmm,
because they'll make an offer on one or two houses and they're coming in low like they used to be.
Yeah.
And they just can't do that anymore.
Right. That's true.
So, you know, with all that being said, I just wanted to say, you know, when someone calls me and they get pre-qualified, just make sure that you've got all your ducks in a row. Have great communication with your real estate agent.
Right.
Make sure you're working with a great real estate agent, a great loan officer that's got your back. And make sure that you're prepared to go in strong with your offer if you find a house and you really like it.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point, because if you're planning on going out in this market shopping for a home, you need to have all the legwork done. You need to have that loan secured in place, ready to go.
That's right.
Get their paperwork to get you the documents and all that stuff. Well, we have a lot to cover today on this beautiful Saturday. We've got a very special guest that will be joining us here in the next segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Sabrina and Ben Real Estate Hour here on Easy 106.9. We'll be right back.
Did you know that mortgage rates are at 9-month lows? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, right here in Chattanooga, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money. And if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now, 805-9100. Families all over Tennessee are calling Home Rate Mortgage right now with these amazing 9-month low rates and paying off their high interest credit card debt into one low fixed rate mortgage payment. And check this out. We just helped a retired court reporter who lives in Ottawa. We paid off her mortgage and $7,000 in credit card debt and saved her family $400 per month while, get this, giving her $10,000 additional cash out For home improvements so that her grandson can live with her, it's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and this number, 805-9100. And if you're at your desk like me, get a quick quote at homeratemortgage.com.
Now back to the Sabrina and Ben Realty Hour on Easy 106.9.
And welcome back to the Sabrina and Ben Real Estate Hour here
welcome
on Easy
back.
106.9 FM. I should say the Sabrina and Chad Hour this
That's
morning,
right? This morning, this one.
I'm trying not to confuse our audience, though. Some people probably, because it's Saturday morning, are just getting up and getting their coffee. Chad, I'm really excited to bring in our special guest today. We have Mike Price. He's with MAP Engineering. You own MAP Engineering. Is that correct, Mike?
Going on 23 years.
Going on 23 years. So for our listening audience, tell them who Mike Price is and what Mike Price does as a profession.
Well, so grew up in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. Went to Little Wall High School. Then went away to Tech, Tennessee Tech. Went to Atlanta then for 6.5 years. Came back. Worked for a couple firms. Decided to start my own firm. Been doing it now for 23 years. Uh-huh. And what I found is...
You're an engineer.
Engineer, yeah. Yep. So this is going to be the boring section.
No,
of the,
no, you're okay.
Segment here.
No, but, you're no such thing.
But what I sort of started working is finding that in the Chattanooga market at the time, there was not really a lot of people that necessarily did site engineering for subdivisions. Mm-hmm. And so started working more and more into... doing subdivision. The mm-hmm. first big one that I got was Hampton Creek.
Okay.
So,
oh yeah.
Started
out
that
on
one,
Snow Hill Road.
Off Snow Hill Road, and didn't know anything about golf courses. Never even picked up a golf club, if you will. But you know, worked
you
with some
to,
people.
Though, right?
I had to at that point start doing a little bit of that. So, with Hampton Creek sort of under my belt, which was a really good showpiece, a good
yeah.
one to start with,
absolutely
that people then recognized. Started doing more and more, and so today we've done, as it turns out, some 15,000 lots, residential lots, throughout the Hamilton County, Bradley County, Catoosa County area,
wow.
and multiple subdivisions.
15,000 lots.
I didn't believe... Back during the downturn, when it was really
oh
slow,
my gosh.
I decided one day, I want to see how many we have done at this point. And at that point, it was around 11,000.
Okay. Well, you just brought up a good point I hadn't even thought of. So back in during the downturn, and I'm curious about this, because, boy, 2009, 2010, those weren't really good times for our market, even though we were so fortunate here in the Chattanooga market that our prices had not plummeted like they had elsewhere. And we were somewhat stable, but you could feel the pain.
Oh yeah.
So what did you do back then to stay busy? I mean, did you keep enough business, or did you kind of tweak the way you were doing business? Did you explore doing some other things that maybe you hadn't been doing? I'm curious.
Well, what I ended up doing at that point was basically coming in the office mm-hmm. and just trying to find work for everybody else to do. And I myself didn't have a whole lot to do.
Yeah.
And so had to let some people go. And it was just a struggle at that particular point. So for me, the days were so long because there was nothing to do and trying to struggle to find anything for the folks to do. So we took on projects that we normally would not.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about trying to make certain that these employees, which had been, you know, good and wanted to certainly
right.
keep them and keep their families, you know, together and
exactly
and so they could bring a paycheck home. So, yeah, it was tough during that time, but we survived it, and you know, we're now moving on. And again, once it's another hot market, just like it was before.
And now you're probably so busy, you need to clone yourself two or three times every day.
There are days that I could use two or three or more, but the problem is, I don't think I would get along with myself very well. So that's probably
exactly.
not a good idea.
Exactly. Yeah, Chad. Now Chad's young, a little younger than us, Mike. He doesn't know about. I guess the market was hot when you came to Home Rate, right?
It
was busy.
Yeah, it was busy. It's changed a lot even since I've been there. And I know, you know, 2008 and everything that happened.
Yeah.
That was not during the time I was in the market, though. So.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, to stay in business, you just about had to adapt the way you were doing business. And it's like you said, Mike, I just kind of ventured out and started doing a few things that I had not done before. And one was, you know, I would help folks who were about to lose their home to foreclosure do a short sale. We did a lot of loan modifications where we negotiated with lenders and stuff to help folks stay in their home. And then, of course, I started listing foreclosures and stuff, which is something, you know, I had never even dabbled in. But it kept me busy and it kept me in business and survived. But my goodness, how times have changed. We are in a very hot market right now. And very blessed. And, you know, Chad was sharing the rates in the first segment at 3.75, 3.8%. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy rates.
And so I know you, being an engineer, anytime someone's wanting to develop a piece of property, it's important to buy the right piece of land.
Correct.
Right? We've got areas in Hamilton County and Catoosa County that are floodways. Or, you know, may not be such a great investment. Talk a little bit just about starting the process. What you do when someone's identified a piece of property and they call Mike Price in. I want you to just talk a little bit what you do and how important hiring someone like you is, because there are things I know that you experience and caveats that arise that people have no idea or no knowledge of. So I want you to share some of that.
Well, the first thing that one has to figure out is what can you get? What's the highest and best value for any piece
Absolutely.
Of property? Absolutely. And there's so many factors that go into that. Mm-hmm. Not all properties are created equal, even if they're side by side in the
right.
same area in the same acreage. There are factors such as, does it have a stream on it? Now, people like streams, and I do too.
Yeah.
However, what we find now is we have what's called waters of the state.
Yes, explain that, because people like their streams so much now, they don't want you even building around them.
That's exactly right. So a waters of the state is a designated water course mm-hmm. that the state of Tennessee deems is to be protected.
Exactly.
And so it has now required buffers. The buffers, the regulations are impending at this point and should be finalized here before end of the year. But essentially, the buffers are, if it's a small stream, you should assume that it's going to be a 30-foot buffer from the top of bank on either side. Mm-hmm. So basically, if a stream is 5 feet wide, it's a 65-foot total width and buffer.
Mm-hmm.
If it's got a big drainage area, say Friars Branch or some of the other creeks that we have that have got water that's, you know, a 10-foot wide channel and maybe 18 inches deep of water coming through there, it's going to have 60 mm-hmm. feet on each side. So now you've got a 130-foot buffer if you own both sides of the creek.
Right.
Well, that means you can't put a house in there.
Exactly.
You can't put a, you know, you can cross
so
it with a road.
That's a useless piece of property.
Well,
if you're wanting to build.
What we have
right
tried
there.
Now to mm-hmm. figure out is how do I take that and turn it in from a lemon into lemonade, basically.
Yes.
How can I make this an amenity? Knowing, however, I cannot use this in terms of developable area.
Right.
So, those are some of the first things we have to look at. Do you have mm-hmm. waters of state? Do you have steep slopes? You have sometimes now where the topography is so steep that to try to go in and grade it or to try to work the contours, it just creates so much cost that it doesn't really cost benefit out to try to do that.
Right.
So it costs a lot to turn it into lemonade.
In that instance, you're not going to ever get lemonade. You're just going to get a bitter taste in your mouth.
I got
what
now,
you're going to find.
Now, you just hit on steep slopes. And I know just from watching the news and hearing the news and hearing some chatter with the city of Chattanooga, they've been discussing that with the city council as well. Are they going to, are they in the process of coming up with new criteria or
they will and,
okay.
and a lot of this is born out of the North Chattanooga area
mm-hmm.
is really been more the driving force because North Chattanooga is got steeper topography and there is such a crushing demand to try to build on every piece of ground
absolutely.
In North Chattanooga. So you're finding pieces of ground that normally one would have stayed away from 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but now it's like, just build it, find a place. If it's a vacant piece of ground and it's 50 by 50, find me a footprint of a house I can drop in here.
Yeah, I mean, that really is the mentality.
It is.
And I'll tell you this, it's crazy because even the property assessments on those lots in North Chattanooga, a lot of the lots are worth more than the house sitting on them.
Exactly.
In terms of these older homes and stuff. So, I mean, it's unbelievable how quick the value of these lots have gone up. And to me, though, that's why it's so much even more important to hire someone like you, an engineer, that if I'm looking at a piece of property to buy that I want to build a house on, well, first of all, if I'm putting an offer on it, I want to give me some outs because I want a due diligence period where I have an engineer go in there and check out everything you're talking about. You know, is this a buildable piece of property? What's the topography like? How much is it going to cost me to excavate it and get it ready to build on? Because it may not make sense, especially in some of these areas where the numbers are just through the roof. What are some of the challenges? Is that the main one in North Chattanooga that you're seeing, though, is the steep slopes and the prices?
Topography, yes. Then you have to meet the regulations. Now we're, and again, we're talking more than just a single-family home. We're talking where someone is going to put three, four, five houses together. Yeah. Now, they could be on the same street or in part of a little development. Or large-scale developments.
Right.
But now we have to meet water quality requirements, which, again, all these things are good. We want to certainly be good stewards of the environment.
Now, for our listeners, are these is this coming down from the federal government, the state government, both?
It all trickles down from the federal government. And so eventually it ends up the state, the cities, then basically, and counties are the ones who have to implement the rules.
Right.
So they're put the stewards in terms of making certain these things occur. So what happens is when you look at all of the costs that goes in to meet the water quality,
right?
How much property is not usable because of steep slopes or streams or a regular shape of the lot, or there's a sewer easement or whatever, a gas easement goes through there. All of these things then start constricting and reducing what someone's value of the property is, even though in their mind they see, hey, I've got 10 acres.
Exactly.
But even if I have 10 acres and if 7 of it is only usable, I'm still thinking I can get a 10-acre price for it per acre.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the price per acre should be, you know, $50,000 per acre, 10 acres, that's $500,000.
Exactly.
No, there's only 7. You're at $350. Well, wait a second. You have to explain to that property owner why that property is not a $500,000, but instead a $350,000.
So after you are done with your assessment of a piece of property, are you finding that when you're working for the buyer, sometimes when you find your findings show that this property is not worth what they're asking for it, are they willing to negotiate and reduce the price?
Some are, some aren't.
Yeah.
I think what I find is if you go to the individual who owns the property and you can explain to them in very straightforward terms, you're not really trying to just take them the price down for the sake of taking it down, but there's an actual reason behind it. Generally, people then understand it. Some don't. And what happens is it takes that second, third, and they go through the exact same process, come to the exact same conclusions that finally someone realizes, hey, you know what? They were right. It was that first number I was told all along.
Wow. Well, we've got a lot more to discuss this morning. We have Mike Price with MAP Engineering in the studios. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk some more. Well, let's talk about building and setbacks and turning that lemon into lemonade a little bit more, and we may even get into conservation easements and some of that stuff. So we'll be back here on Easy 106.9 FM right after the break.
Maybe you've had a situation like this.
Hi, I'm Luke Raby with Paul Bunyan Tree Service. I've lived in Ringgold my whole life. We bought a house in 2011. We got it financed in a local bank.
And what was your experience with the bank?
I feel like they took advantage of us because we didn't know the mortgage process and my payment was too high.
So Luke, what'd you do next?
So I called Ben Phillips at Home Rate Mortgage. He saved me $1,500 a month on my house payment.
And how did Ben and his staff at Home Rate Mortgage treat you?
My experience at Home Rate Mortgage was awesome. They treated me just like I treat my customers.
So what did your wife say to $1,500 a month? How'd she react?
She said that she couldn't believe that we saved that much money.
Let Luke's story be your story. Call Home Rate Mortgage today, 805-9100. That's 805-9100. And remember, there's no cost and no obligation to find out exactly how much you can save today.
Turn a house into a home.
Did you know that mortgage rates are at 9-month lows? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, right here in Chattanooga, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money. And if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now, 805-9100. Families all over Tennessee are calling Home Rate Mortgage right now with these amazing 9-month low rates and paying off their high-interest credit card debt into one low fixed-rate mortgage payment. And check this out. We just helped a retired court reporter who lives in Ottawa. We paid off her mortgage and $7,000 in credit card debt and saved her family $400 per month while, get this, giving her $10,000 additional cash out for home improvements so that her grandson can live with her. It's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and this number, 805-9100. And if you're at your desk like me, get a quick quote at HomeRateMortgage.com.
You're listening to the Sabrina and Ben Realty Hour on Easy 106.9.
And welcome back to the Sabrina and Ben Real Estate Hour here on Easy 106.9 FM. I have Chad in the studio with Home Rate Mortgage and for Ben Phillips. And we were just discussing with Mike Price, the owner of MAP Engineering, developing and some of the stuff just with even a piece of property, the challenges he faces, whether it's just the topography, waters of the state, or even restrictions and regulations from the federal government. How, you know, to me, I don't see how you keep up, Mike, because there are always regulations and restrictions and changes with building codes and permitting. I mean, how do you really stay up to date on all of this?
Well, if you don't, you fall behind. And if you don't know what the regulations are, you really can't guide your clients in terms of making the right decisions. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, a state typically, a state of Georgia, state of Tennessee, which is, of course,
right.
our market that we have here, every 5 years, the state typically changes their requirements. So there's always that learning curve that occurs every 5 years between the two states. Now, sometimes it drags a little bit longer, but normally that happens. Then we have the cities and counties, and they're changing rules. So it is a process where you have to stay current, because if you don't, you will simply then find yourself in a situation where you're going to not be able to develop a piece of property the way your client thought you were going to be able to, and someone's going to have some explaining to do. And I don't typically like to have to explain those sorts of things.
No, you don't. And we were talking during the break just about the permitting process. I mean, how crazy that is, too. Sometimes you have to get permits from two different entities.
Well, most times you do. You generally, if you're developing a subdivision, you'll have to get a permit from the local utility company, the water company.
Yeah.
They have to then turn around, send the plans to the state of Tennessee. We have to get a permit from them. We have to get a erosion control permit from the state of Tennessee. Then we have to get a permit from the local body as it relates to either Hamilton County or City of Chattanooga, for instance. Sometimes then we have to get a permit from Hamilton County WWTA if you're in the county. So you can find oftentimes that there are anywhere from 3 to 6 permits from the different agencies that we have to get if you're going to develop a piece of land.
You know, that sounds like a big process. I mean, it really does. It sounds very time consuming.
It is time consuming, but you have to understand that it is there's a logical steps in terms of going through, and as long as you keep up with your steps, you can stay ahead of it. It's when you fail to meet one of those permits that you can get yourself in a real deep hole.
Mike, would you say that this is coming from your experience with it? You said you'd been in it for 26 years. You know, you staying up on all that. Is that coming from just your pure experience with doing what you do?
Well, and it's been 33 years. I wish it was only 26, then I'd be a little bit younger at that point. But what you find is the permitting process from where I started to where I am today is totally different. For instance, erosion control is one of the big hot items.
Yes.
I can tell you that I would do plans for a 40-acre shopping center back in the day. And you know how long I spent on erosion control? I spent 3 hours, and I would just put some tape down on a drawing that would show, here's some silt fence and here's a construction exit where you see the riprap that is put where trucks coming out, and I'd show a sediment basin where they have all of the soils gathered to, and that was it. I was done. Now I'll put 3 sheets together. I'll have 1,000 notes that tells the contractor he's totally responsible for the world and everything in it, and provide all these calculations, and then we go through all these reviews. So yes, but now, I think those are good things, because we probably weren't paying attention back 30-plus years ago in terms of how do we deal with stormwater, how do we deal with erosion control. So more regulations in some instances, I think, has a benefit to the community at large because it protects those that are around development.
Well, and like you said earlier, I mean, each property really has its own characteristics and limitations as to what you can do with that property when you talk about highest and best use. I mean, you can't just, especially nowadays, you can't just go pick a piece of property and think you can build a business there or whatever else. It has to make sense in terms of what's located around it.
Zoning.
You know,
zoning.
Zoning. And that's exactly what I was leading into. And just even, we were talking about the process you go through, just dealing with the regulations, dealing with the different authorities, and, you know, the whether it be the city or county or WWTA or whoever. And all that is a process.
It
takes time. But rezoning, let's talk a little bit about that,
too. That's a totally separate process.
That really takes time. And I don't think people really understand when you buy a piece of property. Like, for example, we're seeing, especially out in my area, a lot of folks have these farm top, big acreage tracts, you know, 25, 30 acres they're selling. Zoned probably agricultural.
Yes.
And of course you have a developer want to buy those up. They're wanting to put a subdivision on them, so you've got to get that rezoned in most cases, for because you're paying, number one, you're paying so much.
Yes.
For the property.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, a lot of these tracts are selling for millions upon millions.
Correct.
Right. So in order to make the numbers work, they've got to buy this piece of property. They've got to get it rezoned so they can put some houses on it. And usually to get it rezoned, they need to be able to put a certain number of houses on there.
Correct.
So let's talk a little bit about that and just rezoning and kind of what you're finding, even with the prices and stuff too, what developers are having to do in terms of how wide their lots are and all that kind of stuff.
Well, so it's interesting if you look at the size lots. When mm-hmm. I first started 20 plus years ago with my
yep.
own company, we typically had residential lots that were anywhere from 80 to 100 feet wide, and that was very typical.
Yep.
Well, as we got towards about 2007, right before we got into the downturn, lots got to be about 60 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, wow, we've gone from 100 down to 60. After the downturn, several things started happening as people started realizing that the infrastructure costs are going up and trying to figure out now how to make the numbers work.
Right.
So now we started going down to 50-foot wide lots mm-hmm. that I'm seeing. And I thought, I doubt if I'll ever see anything tighter than the 50 feet. Well, no, we've actually now gone down to 32-foot wide single-family lots.
Now, that is a special zoning. What kind of zoning do you have to get to do a 32-foot?
There's several that you can get. One is a planned unit development, mm-hmm. which basically is, you should consider that like a mass variance over mm-hmm. a piece of property. But you are locked into a particular type of development, a particular density, certain amenities that goes through the public process so that everybody knows this is what it's going to look like when it gets finished.
So it sounds like a trade-off. So it's really a trade-off. To get the density you want, you're having to give up or...
There's a trade-off. That's exactly right. Because if I'm going to densify certain areas, then there's going to be other areas, not always. Now, in the city, mm-hmm. they will just densify because you're not necessarily looking for amenities like we would out in the county.
Right.
And what has happened also sometimes is people have thought over the years is smaller lots mean a smaller price.
Right.
I've seen smaller lots that are basically the size of a postage stamp go for $100,000.
Absolutely.
So that doesn't always equate in terms of size of lot. The quality of the development mm-hmm. will dictate the value of what those lots
That's
run.
Crazy.
So what you run into is from a zoning standpoint, you may have a piece of property and you may think, wow, this is perfect for townhouses.
Yeah.
That's the hottest thing. I need to put in townhouses. I can really maximize my value of my land. Well,
exactly.
What you find out is everybody around you is single family, and there's not a townhouse for a mile
That's
in any
exactly
direction.
That's exactly right.
Now, if you are proposing to do this, how does the community feel about this?
Mm-hmm.
Also, what does the land use plan, which the regional planning agency has for just about every
Absolutely.
Area in the county, what does that plan say?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may find that the land use plan is 20 years old and it's outdated.
That's right.
Okay.
And that is the case with a lot of them.
And again, it's a struggle keeping mm-hmm. up because it's always dynamic.
I think we should be updating those plans every 5 years personally.
I think that that would be a great goal, and that they should do that because you can stay more on top of it. And, you know, like I do, it's like if you wait 20 years to try to start renovating your home, you got a real project on
your hands.
But if you sort of keep up with it as you're going along and doing the repairs and doing the things you need to, it's not near the challenge once you take it on 20 years later doing nothing.
But pretty much what it, and I know the process, and it takes time in terms of just getting it rezoned.
Yes.
And it depends on probably what you're doing, because you're going to be having community meetings.
You will. It's a 3 to 4 month process,
exactly.
Typically. You're going to have to, once you have your community meeting, normally, you'll go to the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. Now, before you get to Planning Commission, staff's going to make a recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
Whether to approve, deny, or make certain changes. The Planning Commission, then, their role is to be able to have a public forum and sort of try to vet out all of those types of issues and then make a recommendation. Then it goes to City Council or goes to the County Commission. From there, those bodies are able to then make, hopefully with all of the other processes having played out beforehand, make the right call.
Right. And I can tell you, I'll take my real estate hat off for a moment and put my county commission hat on, because I have to wear that a lot. Especially, I stay away from a lot of stuff that goes on in our district, because I never want anyone to, and I don't even work with builders. But it is a process, and, you know, when it gets to the county commission or the city council, that's the final say right there.
Correct.
And there's so much that we have to consider, not just what's being presented by the developer or the engineer, but also the community and how the community feels about it. And what I like is when developers take a very proactive approach from day one. They identify this piece of property. They know they're going to need it rezoned. So in addition to hiring their engineer and all that stuff, they start reaching out to the representative of that district, whether it be city council representative, county commissioner, and they say, hey, look, I've identified this piece of property. I want to buy it. What do we need to do? What do you think about it, and can you help me set up a community meeting? I think that's such an important process, because a lot of times what you'll find is, especially with social media and this next door and everything, is someone can assume you're putting in townhomes, for example, when you're really doing single-family homes. And let's say the townhomes don't make sense. Well, then you've got everybody in an uproar because they think they're about to put townhomes next to my development, and then they're worried about the property value. So it just makes sense to meet with them. One thing, you kill those rumors immediately.
That's your first goal, is to try to make certain that everyone understands what you really are doing and not what the rumor is. In our age of communication, there is more misinformation or disinformation than I've ever run across in my previous history of dealing with these things.
Yeah, it's right.
So you got to get out in front. You've got to be able to show people, here's what we are actually doing. Now, oftentimes what happens out of that, I'll get feedback, the developer gets feedback, and we'll come back based on that information, and we may make tweaks to the plans based upon things that we hear.
I want to expound on that when we get back. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to talk about that, because that's kind of a win-win situation, what you're talking about. So we'll be back here on Easy 106.9 FM right after the break.
Did you know that mortgage rates are at 9-month lows? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, right here in Chattanooga, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money, and if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now, 805-9100. With rates at 9-month lows, your home purchasing power just went up $28,000. If you were able to buy a $225,000 home, now you can buy a $250,000 home for the exact same payment. That's a quarter of $1 million. The Jones family had been house hunting for months, and with the timing of these low rates, they were able to get into the home of their dreams. It's easy, and you can do it too. Call 805-9100. It just takes 10 minutes, and this phone number, 805-9100, or homeratemortgage.com.
Turn a house into a
Now, back to the Sabrina and Ben Realty Hour on Easy 106.9.
And welcome back to the Sabrina and Ben Real Estate Hour here on Easy 106.9 FM. Have Chad in the studios from Home Rate Mortgage sitting in for Ben this morning. And let me tell you something, Chad. I like to look at your smiling face just as much as I do,
well, thank
Ben.
You.
So
I like to look at y'all's face. Too.
Thank you for joining us. And we've been talking to Mike Price, who is just a wealth of knowledge about land and developing. Been an engineer for over 33 years and just works in Tennessee and Georgia. And we were talking about some of the challenges of getting something rezoned and working with the community in a give and take process, where sometimes there may be a development that you're trying to get rezoned and you have tremendous outcry and opposition from the community. And you've seen this because we've worked together on a lot of different developments, is that when you're willing to come and meet with them and talk to them and share the plan and what you're wanting to do, and on top of that, you're willing to make concessions that make sense and that you can do, you know, from a financial standpoint,
sure,
and still do the development and achieve the goal, it's a win-win. And usually a situation that started off very volatile with a lot of opposition, a lot of outcry, you can turn that around rather quickly by just meeting, being transparent, being accessible. Is that right?
Yes. And I always try to make it a win-win situation,
yes,
when possible. Now, again, I am simply a agent of the developer, typically. Mm-hmm. So when
you're being humble, but go ahead.
Well, I'm out there to try to make recommendations, and it's his or her call in mm-hmm. terms of what they want to do. If I can find a way to bring all parties together, maybe everybody's not entirely happy, but they're certainly more satisfied with what the product is or mm-hmm. what it's going to be, then I've achieved what I needed to be able to do. There are times, however, where people are they're afraid of what's
Absolutely.
Going to be developed. My dad told me long ago, the only thing constant about life is change.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing people don't like is change. So when I'm coming in and proposing then these different projects, what happens is I become the lightning rod.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's fine. I get that. Mm-hmm. Someone has to be able to be a proponent to be able to say, what are the merits for some particular project? Sometimes the communities then will work together with the developer and come to a solution. Sometimes we'll get two-thirds or a third,
right,
whatever the case may be. But ultimately,
right,
at the end of the day, my goal is to not make people unhappy.
That's right.
My goal is to try to come with a plan that if I was living next door, I could accept this.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, definitely some developments are a lot more contentious than others, and some don't make sense, and you don't get those passed. You don't get those through. You don't always get those passed through the
That's
city
right.
council or county commission.
You can't win them all.
But, you know, you think about it. A home, when someone buys a home, that is, for most folks, that's usually their greatest investment.
Yes.
And they've invested in that home, so they really care about what's going on around them, and that's rightfully so. And that's why, you know, when I was elected back in 2014, I didn't know that there have a lot of zoning meetings going on, and we've kind of made that a process,
yes,
out in the East Brainerd, Appison, Collegedale, and Etowah area because of all the growth that we're experiencing out, yes, there right now. And what I have found is that has been such a really good process, but also because of all the growth so fast, we have infrastructure needs, we're getting a new middle school, and we've really got to be careful about keeping our finger on the pulse. And, you know, we were just talking about the land use plans for different areas. As you know, Mike, because you were involved in the process, out there in the East Brainerd, Appison, and Collegedale area, we didn't even have a comprehensive,
not until recently, when you pushed that, we were able to get that
plan in place. And the thing is, you can't just develop blindly, because that's when you end up with poor developments or developments that don't make sense, like Chad was just talking about, where you may have a lot of single family homes and then there's something in between it or across from it that makes right. no sense. We all want to keep our property value up, so it's important, but there's also a fine line there too, and this is where you've got to weigh it out, because people have rights.
Correct.
If a person wants to sell their farmland and they want to sell it for $3 million, and they want to sell it to this developer, there's a fine line there about infringing upon the property rights of that seller.
That's correct.
And so I just appreciate the process, though, of developers being willing to meet with the community and make those concessions. And if something doesn't make sense, walk away from it. especially if the numbers can't make sense.
That's true. The other thing that Chattanooga has and Hamilton County has moved towards that we didn't have when I first started is landscaping.
Yes.
Years ago, we didn't have any landscape requirements.
Oh, gosh.
And now we have landscape requirements in place that the county and city both have. And that really can help transition these
areas.
It
enhances.
It only adds to everyone. Everyone
exactly.
likes to see landscaping, trees, buffers, things like
That's
that
right.
put in place.
That's right.
And so a lot of times what people are seeing out their back door may be a cow pasture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, they like seeing the cow pastures and the cows and that sort of thing. But what now will happen is they don't want to see all those homes. Well, now
yeah.
if I've got a row of trees and landscaping, okay, that's not so bad.
And that's one of those concessions you're
it
talking
is.
About.
Yes.
You know, you may leave some green space or
yes.
something like that, or even have like a little walking trails or a little park area or something like that. And you were talking about turning a lemon into a lemon. I've seen, like on these streams, I've seen developers do some really neat stuff there too.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like what you were saying, that it actually enhances at the end of the day the property. But anyway, you're being humble about your knowledge and everything, because I'll tell you something. Somebody asked me this week, why Mike Price? And he seems to be the go-to guy. When somebody's wanting to develop a piece of property or something like that, he seems to be the go-to guy. But it's all the things we're talking about this morning, all the challenges, whether it's restrictions, regulations, setbacks, zoning. And you got to have that expert, just like you got to have that right lender in the mortgage industry, and you got to have that right realtor to represent you as a seller or buyer. You got to have someone very knowledgeable when you're about to invest in a piece of property. And just as well as having your knowledge is maneuvering. There's some politics to this.
There is.
We're just talking about that.
There is.
Okay? When you're dealing with all these different entities and all, I mean, everything you're having to do through the permitting, there is some politics to it. And you were talking about how lengthy the process is, but, I mean, to go sit down with a regional planning agency and to get their stamp of approval first, you've got to give them something. And you got to present it in a way that they have buy-in from day one.
Correct. You have to know what they're looking for.
Exactly. Then you're going to go to the Planning Commission.
Well, before you get to that point,
yeah.
you then also want to know where the community feels.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. Community to me is first and foremost before it even gets
yeah,
there.
And that's,
absolutely.
And again, politics to me is working with people.
That's
so
right.
That's politics as well. So we RPA, the community, then we go to Planning Commission.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we're finding out what the Planning Commission thinks. And sometimes we get feedback from there. Oh, I didn't think of that.
Exactly.
We need to change, tweak this plan before we move up to the final vote at City Council or County Commission.
Well, I'm glad you said all that, because I think for those listening this morning, when you think about an engineer, you don't think about someone having the ability to articulate.
You do not.
But that is so important, because you do have to do that, and you do it well.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it very well. As a matter of fact, you make it hard to say no sometimes, but but you do it very well. I mean, just being able to, like you said, first of all, the challenges with winning the community over, first and foremost, and then getting it through the process of the Regional Planning Agency, the Planning Commission, and then the County Commission or the City Council. I want to shift gears just a few minutes, because I don't want us to lose time before I talk about this, but you hear a lot of talk now about conservation easements.
Yes.
And I know everyone's always wanting to keep more of their money, more of their hard-earned dollars.
Yes.
And especially when it comes time to filing taxes and stuff like that. So I've noticed there's more people wanting to get a piece of property, and they're wanting to keep it undeveloped.
Correct.
And what we call putting it into a conservation easement. Most of our listeners out there probably do have no idea what I'm even talking about. So, Mike, bring that down to layman's terms. What's a conservation easement? Why are we seeing more of that, and what are the benefits?
Well, so a conservation easement typically is where an individual will place either by deed restriction or give it to a qualifying 501c3, a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. who will keep the land fallow, not develop it forever.
Right, it's perpetual.
Perpetual.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the federal government says you have a piece of property, and if you develop it, it would make X number of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We will let you, therefore, count this off on your taxes.
Yeah.
And you can then leave this land undisturbed. What's happened is the IRS, at the end of the Obama administration, passed down a edict, if you will, and it has put a stranglehold now where we were doing a lot of conservation easements, mm-hmm. and seeing those people are now taking a step back.
Okay.
Because of the new requirements of what they put. Congress is going to have to get a hold of this to figure out what happens. But at the end of the day, the idea was Republicans were happy because people were able to take their land and make money by having a tax benefit or selling those tax benefits off. Democrats were happy because typically you're not developing land, you're going to leave it, yeah. you know, in a nice area. So both sides of the in Congress and in Washington came together years ago, and that's what they agreed to do. What's happening now is it's a struggle because people are so afraid that the IRS is going to come down on them. We're not seeing those happen as much as we used to.
Yeah.
But they're a great product because a lot of times you could buy 200 acres.
Oh, yeah.
But what you really want to do is, yeah, I could put on 200 acres, I could put 600 homes.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you what,
that's
I'm going to put.
That's a lot of homes.
Yeah, that's a lot of homes. But I tell you what, I'm going to put 250 homes mm-hmm. and I'm going to put 300 acres or 200 acres in a conservation easement.
Yeah.
And not develop this and let everybody enjoy the benefits and take a tax deduction off of that.
Yeah.
We are seeing right now there's a little bit more of a struggle mm-hmm. versus where we were. Hopefully Congress will get that
squared away. Well, I'm glad you pointed that out because I didn't realize all that was going on. But I had noticed that we had a lot of folks from out of town, even New York and different areas, coming in buying up property for the sole purpose of putting them in a conservation easement. I don't want time to get away from us without you, Mike, being able to share how any of our listeners, if they need an engineer or someone to check out a piece of property, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, just call me. I'll be happy to sit down with people. With the technology we have now, I can typically pull it up on a computer screen. We can sit down. We can talk about what they've got, what their thoughts, what mm-hmm. their plans are, and we'll see if we can hopefully reach that. They can call us at 855-5554.
That's easy.
Start with an 8, end with a 4, 5's in the middle.
That's easy. Yeah. And have you got a website?
No.
Okay.
Over the years.
Well, he's too busy. He don't need a website anyway. And Chad, for those people out there thinking about going out this weekend and buying a home, how do they get in touch with Chad at Home Rate Mortgage?
Yeah, they can reach us at the office number. It's 423-805-9100. And just ask for me. Ask for Chad. I'd love to help y'all out.
And the pre-qualification process is painless. I mean, you're talking about a matter of minutes.
Right.
And then you're off the phone.
No
and then,
cost,
of course,
no obligation.
Once you get them pre-qualified, they've got to have the right realtor.
That's
so, of
right.
course, they've got to call Sabrina Realty, 499-7780. That's 499-7780. Or go to our website, SabrinaRealty.com. We'd love the opportunity to work with you, whether you're buying or selling. It has been a very informational session this morning. I appreciate you, Mike,
yeah,
for coming
you,
in
so
and
much.
Sharing your wealth of knowledge. Hopefully our listeners learned a lot this morning and just appreciate you. And you guys have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to the Sabrina and Ben Realty Hour with your hosts, Sabrina Smedley and Ben Phillips. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. only on Easy 106.9.